Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. We give you thanks and praise for inviting us into your family and for promising that when two or three gather in your name, that you would be there. So we celebrate your presence with us this morning, and we ask that your Spirit would come and do the work that only he can do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a real joy to be here today to talk about discipleship, and I'm sure that you've gathered by now with all the announcements and the service leaflets and the fanfare that we're celebrating our work in discipleship this week. This is Discipleship Sunday, and I'm so thrilled to be a part of a church that emphasizes discipleship. I preached my first sermon when I was 12. I don't know how it happened. I don't remember much of anything about it, but I do remember that my passage was from Matthew 28, where Jesus said to his disciples as they're waiting for him to leave and go back up to be with the Father. It's in the very last few verses of the book of Matthew. So I'm not exactly certain of the timetable of when he actually left and went back to the Father. I read different accounts in different Gospels, and like you, sometimes I try to put them together, and sometimes I think, well, I can't get that. But anyway, it's clear that he is just about to leave, and I think that you could reasonably assume that this is one of the very last things that he said to his disciples as they're gathered there with him. And he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." What an incredible, wonderful passage. Although that's not our gospel for this morning, but I couldn't resist kind of setting up what we want to do with that. So we're called to be disciples, and we're called to be disciple makers. That's part of the plan of God for each and every person. 269 times in the New Testament, the word disciple appears. It's a Greek word called mathetes, and it means to be a learner, a pupil, a student, an apprentice, a practitioner. So we're lifelong learners. That's what we are. And what is it that we're learning? We're learning how to be like Christ. He's the firstborn of many brethren, right? He's the prototype for who we are. We had a great time this week going to the deanery meeting in Conway. And one of the things that we were talking about in Philippians chapter 3, there's a wonderful verse in this, I think it's called the Passion Translation. I heard about it here when Russ Parker was here a few years back. He used it. But he says, "We are a colony of heaven on earth as we cling to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our humble bodies and transfigure us into the identical likeness of his glorified body." Well, that comes later, but there's a lot of work to be done in the meantime where he's working. Paul comments on it when he sets down in Romans 8, and he said, "For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn of many brothers." So that's what church is about. It's about learning how to be like Christ. Learning how to allow him to live in us and through us and to show forth his love and his concern for people of all stripes and all persuasions. So here we are today celebrating Discipleship Sunday. And we have several people that are going to come up and share with you some of the things that we're doing in the realm of discipleship. So that means my time has been cut a little bit short. So I only have time to talk about one thing. that's interesting, isn't it? One thing. But So, and I have to tell you, it's my favorite thing. I feel so fortunate that I got to preach today, Gary. Thank you. Ryan, thank you. This is my favorite passage. I stake my life on this. This is what my own personal ministry has been about. This is what I've been preaching to anybody that would listen for as long as I can remember, where Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. A new one. Now, I mentioned this morning earlier, the commentators, I'm so disappointed in them as I try to read and find somebody that agrees with me, and I can't. But I'm holding fast because I believe that I see something here. So he says, a new commandment I give to you. And for some reason, these guys, they have a hard time, I guess, coming. He's given us a new commandment. And the old commandment is pretty strong, right? That we find in Leviticus where he says, you shall not only love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but then he has to throw that other stuff in there. And he says, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Now that is a really high bar. It's high. It's hard. And if you're like me, you've tried a number of times and failed. And you get up a little butted and bruised, but God doesn't let you go and you try again. And so it's a high bar to love somebody as much as you love yourself. And most of us here love ourselves, even though sometimes it's a little bit disfigured and maligned by Satan. But it's our natural instinct to take care of ourselves. And so God is saying, I want you to have that kind of love for your neighbor. But now Jesus comes along and he says, I've got a new commandment, a new one. It's not love your neighbor as yourself. It's a higher bar. He says, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? He loved us more than he loved himself. He loved us enough to go to the cross for us. He loved us enough to be beaten and mocked and shamed and hung naked to die in the most shameful death known to man, the crucifixion on a Roman cross. That's love. And then he goes on to say that greater love than this has no man, that he would lay down his life for his friends. That's what he did. And so now for the one point, and this will be a record for me. Hallelujah. Okay. So on this notorious meeting that I was a part of last Thursday with some notorious clergymen, we went to Conway for a deanery meeting. And, of course, our pastor is our dean, and he invited a young priest to share with us a little teaching. And he chose this passage, I guess because it was up in the lectionary, for the gospel this week. And he brought out something that I had not seen before. And it just made it make even more sense of what Jesus is asking us to do. He talked about glorification, and maybe you've gotten hung up on that a little bit. Jesus is talking about his glorification has arrived. It's time for him to be glorified. And then you find out, well, that means die. and you're trying to say, well, I don't know for sure if I understand that. But anyway, I heard this from this young priest. He substituted the word magnification for glorification. And so, in a way, you could say that what Jesus is about to do as he dies on the cross is he's about to magnify his love and his power to the world around him. And then just a few words later, he calls upon us to do what he does. He asks us to love each other as he has loved us. Well, there were some hard parts of his love for us, like dying, like putting our interests ahead of his interest. And I think that that's what Jesus means when he says, if we love each other, the world will know that we are his disciples. There's something about that kind of love that unleashes power that we can't quite quantify. It's incredible. Love changed me. It's a few people who love me is the reason I'm standing here today proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. It was a few people who loved me that kept me from a life that none of us would like to contemplate just based on what I've learned from my family members. So God calls on us to love like that. And sometimes it costs you. It'll cost you. But he's saying, don't worry about that because you can't outgive me. If your love that God calls you to give to somebody else causes you to lose something, there's a great, great power just waiting to give it back to you. Just like the one when Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. If we will give our lives away, he will keep raising us from the dead to do it over and over again. And the great part is it comes with such joy. I mean, at first when you're kind of making the decision and you say, do I really love that person that much that I'm going to put their interest above my interest? And you want to say, no, I'm not. But then the Holy Spirit said, oh, come on. And you come to that moment of surrender and you do it. And sometimes it does cost you. But get ready because the blessing of God is coming. The resurrection of Christ is coming to you. It just can't be any other way because his power is so enormously greater than any other power in the whole world. So my word to you, abbreviated as it is, to some I'm sure breathing a sigh of relief, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Then authenticate it by loving someone else as Jesus loved you. And something really good will happen, I promise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.